بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن أحسن الكلام كلام الله وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وإن شر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. So this is the second lesson on the second hadith in An-Nawawi's 40 hadith, and this is from the explanation of the Sheikh Saleh Ali Sheikh Hafizullah. And in the previous lesson we finished upon the note that Islam, that when we are speaking of Islam here in this hadith, then it is whatever relates to the outward actions. Right? So when Jibreel alayhi salam asked the messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inform me about Islam, akhbirni anil Islam, and then he said that Islam is that you testify that none has a right to be worshipped except Allah and that Muhammad is his messenger. And you mentioned the other pillars of Islam. Then the Prophet ﷺ explained Islam here by way of the outward actions. And so we said that in order for a person's Islam to be correct, even though this Islam that was described by the Prophet ﷺ as being external actions, these are all external actions, like testifications with one's tongue, and then the other outward actions, the prayer and the fasting and the hajj and the charity, then still there, in order for this outward Islam to be valid, there has to be a small amount of iman that validates the outward Islam, right? There has to be a small amount of inward iman that validates the outward iman, right? So in other words, to make difference to the hypocrites, right? Because the hypocrites don't have any internal belief, they just outwardly perform the outward actions of Islam out of hypocrisy. But in order, so even though we say that Islam here, it's all outward, there still has to be an element or a level of inward iman which authenticates, if you like, this outward Islam. And the proof for this, first of all, is the use of the word antashhud, antashhuda, that you testify, because this word shahida, we said that its meaning is, it means, first of all, it implies that you speak, and likewise it implies that you obviously hold the belief, you hold the correctness, a belief in the correctness of what you are testifying to. This is all implied in the word tashhud. And likewise, that you then inform and you announce, you know, this thing that you believe. So this proves that there has to be, so it's not just all outward, even though these actions are outward, there's still an element of inward iman that's required in order for a person's outward Islam to be validated. So that's the note on which we ended the last lesson, and so we're going to continue now and move on to the subject of iman. So we've spoken about Islam and the answer of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to this question of Jibreel, and now we move on to the issue of iman. So the Shaykh says that iman was explained by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to Jibreel by way of the inward beliefs, and this is the difference between the two, meaning between Islam and between iman, because even though they've been narrated in the same hadith, then we find that whenever Islam is mentioned together along with iman, then in that situation Islam is always interpreted in that context to mean the outward actions. So in other words, whenever you have iman and Islam mentioned together in a verse or in a hadith, or you know, in this manner, then iman and Islam take on separate meanings. Islam here would mean the outward actions, and included amongst them obviously is the shahadatan, the two testifications. And likewise, iman would then be in reference to the inward, the inward actions of the heart, the beliefs and the inward actions of the heart. Right. So in other words, whenever we have Iman and Islam mentioned together in the same hadith or in the same verse, then they carry separate meanings. Right. They have their own special meanings. Islam has its own special meaning of referring to the outward actions, and Iman has its own special meaning of referring to the inward actions of the heart and the inward beliefs. However, whenever you find Islam mentioned alone in a verse, or Iman mentioned alone in a verse, then in such a situation, you treat Islam here as referring to the whole of the religion of Islam. The whole of the religion of Islam. Right? And when Iman is mentioned alone, then Iman refers to the whole of the religion, including actions as well as beliefs, including the outward actions as well. Right? So we need to understand this, the context within which Islam and Iman are mentioned, and this is important to understanding the actual nature of Iman itself, and this is what the Shaykh now moves on to, and he says, it's for this reason that the Salaf and the scholars are agreed upon the fact that Iman is qawlun wa amalun wa i'tiqadun. That Iman is speech, action and belief, or belief, action, belief, speech and action. And also that Iman, faith, is speech and action. In other words, that Iman consists of statements, and it consists of beliefs, and it consists of actions. And this is obviously when it is mentioned alone. Now, when Iman is mentioned alone in a verse or in a hadith, then that Iman that's mentioned alone, it is belief, speech and action, because it represents the whole of the religion and everything that it contains of beliefs and statements and actions. And this is what the majority, the generality of the people of knowledge are upon from the people of the Sunnah, in that they say that Islam is something other than Iman. Right? Islam is something other than Iman. In other words, when they are mentioned together. And that Iman, when it is mentioned independently of Islam, that's when Iman is mentioned on its own, then what is meant by it is the whole of the religion. The whole of the religion. Right? So whenever we see Iman mentioned alone, that Iman includes Islam, includes Iman, and it includes Ihsan, when it's mentioned on its own. And the same thing can be said of Islam. When Islam is mentioned on its own, then it includes Islam, the part that we call Islam, which is the outward actions. It includes Iman, the inward actions, and it includes Ihsan. Right? So, and that whenever Islam and Iman, when they're brought together, then obviously we know, according to what has already preceded, that Islam refers to the outward actions and Iman refers to the inward beliefs. Okay, so this is what Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah are upon, that Iman, when it is mentioned alone, then it is qawlun wa amalun wa i'tiqadun, belief, speech and action, because it represents the whole of the religion when it's mentioned alone. However, the Shaykh says there are some, there were some from the people of knowledge, from the Salaf, who held the view that that Islam and Iman are a single thing. That they are the same thing. They are synonymous. They are one and the same thing. Irrespective of when and how and in what context they're mentioned, that they are one and the same thing. And the Shaykh says that this opinion is incorrect. This opinion is incorrect. And likewise, the Shaykh says there were others as well, others from the people of knowledge, who held that even when Islam and Iman are mentioned on their own, when they're mentioned alone, then still they still carry their own different meanings. Right? And the Shaykh says this too is, again, it's an opinion that has been held. Right? So the Salaf held that in general, the generality is that Islam and Iman, when mentioned alone and separately from each other, that they both represent the whole of the religion. Right? In other words, the meanings are the same. The meanings of Islam and Iman, when mentioned alone and independently in separate places, then their meanings are the same in the sense that they represent the whole of the religion. And as for when they are mentioned together, then they carry their own unique meanings. Islam then in that case refers to the outward actions, outward visible actions, and Iman refers to the inward beliefs of the heart and the inward actions of the heart. So some of the others from the Salaf, some minority, a minority viewpoint held that Islam and Iman are the same, irrespective of how and when they are mentioned. And yet others from the Salaf again held the view that even when Islam and Iman are mentioned separately in different places, then still they have different meanings. Right? So anyway, these are some of the other viewpoints, but what is correct, as the Shaykh continues to state, is that Islam, when it is mentioned alongside Iman, right, then Islam becomes the outward actions and Iman becomes the inward beliefs. Right? And this is what is indicated by the hadith of Jibreel. So then he goes on and he says that we say that Iman, in the view of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, is that Iman increases and decreases. It increases and it decreases. And this is alongside the fact that it is tied to the beliefs. Yet we find with Islam, in the view of the people of the Sunnah and Jama'ah, we never find Ahlul Sunnah referring to Islam as increasing or decreasing, even though Islam is connected to the outward actions. So how can this be? The Shaykh is asking a question here. How can this be, and how can, you know, what is the difficulty here in that is caused by this issue? In other words, the Salaf, when they say that faith increases and decreases, this is unique to Iman. This expression of increasing and decreasing is unique to Iman. It's only ever applied to Iman. So they say, Iman yazidu wa yanqus. But we find that they never say, for example, with respect to Islam, al-Islam yazidu wa yanqusu. They never say Islam increases and decreases. Despite the fact that Islam represents the outward actions, yet Iman represents the inward actions. So how can this be, and what is the answer to this issue? Because Iman, we know that Iman is tied to the inward beliefs. And they say regarding Iman, it increases and decreases. And as for Islam, then it is in reference to the outward actions, yet they don't say regarding it, it increases and decreases. So the answer, the Shaykh says, to commence the answer to this problem or to this issue, is that first of all, when that with respect to Iman, when we speak of Iman, then Iman refers to the generality of the affairs of the religion, right? You know, this is what can be intended by Iman. That when we intend by Iman the generality of the affairs of the religion as a whole, right? So sometimes Iman is referred to in this way when it is mentioned alone. Like, for example, the Shaykh gives a text, he gives an example of a hadith in which there was a delegation of Abdul Qais, and they came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this delegation, and then he explained to them, this is when they came to accept Islam and become Muslims. He said to them, Amirukum bil iman billahi wahdahu atadruna mal imanu billahi wahdahu. He says, I command you with Iman in Allah alone. And do you know what is Iman in Allah alone? Right? So then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he then answered and explained exactly what was Iman. So then he mentioned some of the affairs of Iman. He mentioned some of the affairs. And then at the end he said that you give one-fifth of the booty. That you give one-fifth of the booty. Meaning that in a war situation, when you collect the booty, that one-fifth of that belongs to Allah and His Messenger, and it's to be given to the Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so, in other words, this hadith is about Iman, yet the Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, at the end of it, he mentioned an outward action. He mentioned an outward action, so he included that within Iman. This shows that Iman, again, as we've said before, Iman, that, you know, when it's a case that the entire religion can be intended by the phrase Iman, then this leads us to the issue that actions in general actions in general enter into the definition of iman. And this is something that is united upon with the scholars of the Salaf, that actions enter into iman. Actions are from iman. And therefore, when they say iman increases and decreases, then this increase and decrease applies to both beliefs and actions. It applies to both beliefs and actions. Why? Because the nature of iman is such that when we look at it and the way it's spoken of in the Quran and the Sunnah, that it implies all of the actions in the religion. So therefore, when we say iman yazidu wa yanqus, then this increase and decrease applies to both beliefs and to statements. And this means, of course, this at the same time implies likewise that obviously Islam too can increase and decrease. Islam also increases and decreases because iman increases and decreases. And iman, we know, is the iman of the heart, and likewise the iman of the limbs, the outward limbs, right? And likewise there is the iman, the iman of the heart. We know that the belief in the heart, the strength of that belief is how strong your belief is in Allah and His angels and His books and His messengers. And we find that when we look at the people, we find that they are not the same. The people in their belief, in the issues of belief and the matters of belief and what they hold in the heart, we find that this iman that exists in their hearts isn't the same. So from them, from the people, are those whose iman is like mountains. Is like mountains. On account of the knowledge, the detailed knowledge of the affairs of belief that they hold in their hearts and the strength of conviction. And others who are less than that, they have less than that. And likewise, this iman can increase with obedience, it can decrease with disobedience. And likewise, the outward actions, which are likewise from iman, they too can increase and they can decrease. So every time a believer's iman increases, every time the actions increase, then the believer's iman increases. Every time the actions decrease, then the believer's or the servant's iman decreases. And iman can decrease by either falling into sin, and it can increase by abandoning sin. And so basically, the Sheikh is explaining, so what the Sheikh has said so far, so let's just summarize the answer so far. He said that first of all, because iman itself is something that comprises the whole of the religion, including actions, including outward actions, therefore what we say, we tend to say that that iman yazidu wa yanqus. And this is sufficient to convey the meaning, right? And this is why the Salaf never ever used to say al-islamu yazidu wa yanqus, right? So even though there were some people of knowledge who said that Islam likewise increases and decreases, because obviously iman is like iman in the sense that Islam indicates actions and beliefs, or even outward actions. So therefore, if the outward actions increase, then Islam increases, and likewise iman increases with that. So so the issue here is so there are some people of knowledge who raised this particular issue, and they say, and some of them say, for example, well, if Islam, how can Islam increase when Islam is just merely the submission to Allah? How can you say Islam increases when Islam is just merely when you submit your will to Allah? How can it be said? And so the Shaykh, addressing these issues, he says, and this is still part of the overall answer to the initial question, he says, first of all, Islam, when we look at what is Islam, we find Islam is three things. Islam is submitting to Allah upon Tawheed, al-istislamu lillahi bit-tawheed, and secondly, al-inqiyadu lahu bit-ta'a, which is to comply with Allah in terms of obedience, and thirdly, al-bara'atu min ash-shirk wa ahlihi, which is to renounce the people of shirk and its adherents. And so therefore we find that because Islam consists of these three things, that Islam likewise, it consists of these three things enter into the shahadatain, then we find that the people can vary. The people, with respect to these three things, we find that they vary. right? That they differ from each other to the level to which they have these affairs, submission to Allah and compliance with Allah in His obedience and so on and so forth. So therefore Islam can increase, Islam can increase, Islam can decrease. There's, you know, this is actually a correct phrase, it's a correct meaning. However, the reason why it's not been used, the reason why it's not been used is for a specific, is for a particular reason. Is for a particular reason. So even though it's correct to use this phrase that Islam increases and decreases, there is actually a particular reason why it's generally been avoided. And the Shaykh says that even Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, even he himself used this expression of Islam increasing and decreasing, but in general we find that the Salaf never used to apply the increase and decrease to the word Islam. And the reason was in order to oppose the Murji'ah, right? In opposition to the Murji'ah, because the Murji'ah were those who used to say that everybody is equal in terms of the foundation of their iman, right? So, for example, the belief or the iman in one believer's heart is the same as that in another believer's heart, and the iman, the actual belief, you know, the iman in the heart of a sinful person is the same as the iman in the heart, for example, of Abu Bakr. Right? This is what they said. Why? Because they held iman just merely to be a belief that is held, or tasdeeq in the heart. And so therefore, they used to say that that the believers with respect to iman are the same, are equivalent. Right? And then they would say that the people... So in terms of the asl of the iman, which is in the heart, the believers are the same. But as for the outward actions, then of course the believers vary. Right? This is what the Murji'ah used to say, that in the inward actions of the heart and the inward beliefs, this is like a single thing. All the believers are the same with respect to it. But as for the outward actions, then of course one person might have actions which are far more numerous than another person, and another person might have sins which are far more numerous than another person. So they used to acknowledge, at least outwardly, that the actions of the believers may vary. Right? So this is what the Murji'ah used to say. So therefore the Salaf, in order to refute this, they would specifically say that iman increases and decreases. Iman increases and decreases. In opposition to the Murji'ah, to oppose the Murji'ah and to refute the Murji'ah. Why? Because iman referring here to the inward actions, and it can also refer to the outward actions. So the Salaf used to use this word in this particular manner in order to oppose the Murji'ah, and used to say that it is iman that increases and decreases. It is iman that increases and decreases. Again, in order to refute the Murji'ah. So they wouldn't say Islam increases and decreases, meaning here that what would be meant here, that Islam meaning that outward actions increase and decrease, because even the Murji'ah, they would affirm this element and say that indeed, obviously, the believers, in terms of the actions that they perform, have different levels. So despite the fact that they wouldn't accept that iman increases and decreases, because to them iman was just a single thing in the heart that was constant for every single believer. So the Shaykh then just clarified this issue as to why, you know, why is the expression used for iman that it increases and decreases, and not for Islam, and the Shaykh explains this is the reason why. Then the Shaykh moves on, and he then says that when Jibreel, when the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam answered the question, then Jibreel said, "Sadaqt," that you spoke the truth, meaning that you spoke the truth in relation to your answer regarding Islam. And the Shaykh says that this basically is something strange and amazing, in the sense that he asks the question and receives the answer, and then he says you spoke the truth. But the Shaykh says this really is, this is something that the Sahaba became aware of, and they noticed. And the Shaykh basically says that a person who is a student, he can sometimes come and ask a question, and his real intent is just to basically bring the attention of those other people who are there, you know, to allow them to benefit from the knowledge of the person who is being asked the question. And the Shaykh says this is something that is good, something beneficial, something that is benevolent, in the sense that other people are made to benefit, because here Jibreel, because the Prophet ﷺ in this incident, he knew that this was Jibreel. He knew that this was Jibreel. And, you know, the fact that Jibreel said to him, Sadaqt, that you have spoken truthful, is a clear evidence of this, of this issue. So anyway, the Sheikh says that this really, what this indicates is that a student can sometimes come to an alim, to a scholar, and he can come and ask him about an issue in which he already knows, but he knows that it will benefit the other people. And this is from the good characteristics and good manners, and it's from the means and ways of the teaching that is found in the Sharia. So the Sahaba, they said, we were amazed that, you know, he asked him, and then he said that you have spoken truthful, right? And then after this, he said, أخبرني عن الإيمان, inform me about Iman. So the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, أن تؤمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسوله واليوم الآخر وأن تؤمن بالقدر خيره وشره. Right, so in other words, now he's mentioned the pillars of Iman, the six pillars of Iman, that you believe in Allah and His angels and His books and His messengers and the last day, and that you believe in Al-Qadr, both its good and its evil. So the Shaykh says here that these pillars that have been mentioned here, these six pillars of Iman, they have been mentioned in the Quran, and he says sometimes they are mentioned, five of them together. Like, for example, in this verse, Allah the Most High says, آمن الرسول بما أنزل إليه من ربه والمؤمنين والمؤمنون كل آمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله. Okay, so here there are four pillars mentioned. In this verse, this is Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah 2, verse 285, the second last verse in the Surah Al-Baqarah, we find there are four pillars mentioned: Allah, the angels, the books, and the messengers. And then we find in another place Allah says, وَلَكِنَّ الْبِرَّ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةِ وَالْكِتَابِ وَالنَّبِيِّينَ. So here we find there are five of them mentioned: Allah, and the last day, and the angels, and the books, and the prophets. So here in Surah Al-Baqarah likewise, Surah Baqarah verse 2, Surah number 2, verse 177, there are five mentioned. And likewise, in another verse, we find, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا آمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَالْكِتَابِ الَّذِي نَزَّلَ عَلَى رَسُولِهِ وَالْكِتَابِ الَّذِي أَنزَلَ مِنْ قَبْلِ وَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِاللَّهِ وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ وَكُتُبِهِ وَرُسُولِهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَقَدْ دَلَّ ضَلَالًا بَعِيدًا. So here he mentions, O you who believe in Allah and His Messenger, and the book which He sent upon His Messenger, and the book which He sent beforehand. Whoever disbelieves in Allah and His angels and His books and His messengers and the last day, then he has gone indeed far, far astray. So in this verse we find five pillars mentioned again. And this is in Surah An-Nisa, Surah number 4, verse 136. And likewise in Surah Al-Qamar, we mentioned that Al-Qadr is mentioned. Al-Qadr, Inna kulla shay'in khalaqanahu biqadr. Indeed, everything we created in due measure and determination. So in other words, we find that Surah Al-Qamar, Surah 54, verse 49, we find that all of these pillars have actually come in the Quran itself. And so these six pillars, these six things that are mentioned, we find that they are commonly referred to as the six pillars of Iman. And likewise, the five that were mentioned before that are commonly referred to as the five pillars of Iman. Now the Shaykh mentions here that there's an important point to be understood here with respect to the use of the word Arkan. Right? Arkan, pillars. Arkanul Islam, Arkanul Iman. You know, we find that these are words which are commonly used. And in reality we find that the word Arkan has never ever been used in the Sharia texts, right? We never find Arkanul Islam, Arkanul Iman. You know, it's not reported anywhere in the Sharia that Iman has pillars, it has arkan, or the Islam has arkan. However, it's the scholars who, due to an ijtihad on their behalf, they refer to the six pillars of Iman, and they refer to the six pillars of Iman, obviously because that is what is found in the Quran, when you find that there are six issues mentioned regarding Iman and five issues regarding Islam. So therefore they just said the six pillars of Iman and the six pillars of Islam out of ijtihad on their behalf. However, we should understand an important point here, which is that even though the scholars have used the label arkan, and obviously this is like a correct understanding, it's based upon an understanding that they have, we have to understand first of all that when it comes to, there's a difference here when it comes to Islam and Iman. And first of all, the word rukun, when we speak of rukun, the pillar, it means something upon which something else depends, which it is based upon. And if this pillar wasn't found, then this other thing would be non-existent, right? Like, for example, you have, you know, a pillar for a house, and if the pillar wasn't to be found, or the pillars weren't to be found, there would be no house. There would be, you know, there wouldn't be a foundation, so therefore there wouldn't be a house. And that's the definition of a rukn. Rukn means something without which something can't exist. So if that rukn was absent, then that thing couldn't exist, right? It wouldn't exist. So in other words, what it means that if a pillar was removed from something, then that thing would not exist. So now, applying the meaning of rukn, now that we've understood what rukn means, now if we apply this meaning to our usage of the phrase arkanul iman and arkanul islam, we find that with relation to iman, we can say that, for example, if a person did not believe in Al-Qadr, then there would be no Iman to begin with at all. Or if a person, for example, if the belief in the last day was not present, it is a pillar of Iman, and because now a pillar has been removed, Iman as a whole, Iman can't exist, right? And similarly for the other pillars of Iman. Why? Because of the definition of Rukn. The definition of Rukn is that it is something upon which something else is built and which it is based upon, right? And therefore, when the rukn is removed, then that thing from its very foundation does not exist at all, right? So in other words, the belief in Al-Qadr is not there, even though a person might have the other aspects of belief, but because a rukn has been removed, then the whole foundation of Iman is non-existent, right? Just because of the absence of a rukn, right? So now, this, with respect to Iman, this is clear. There isn't a problem when it comes to Iman. However, the issue that we face now is when we speak about Islam. Because Islam, likewise, the scholars have spoken about Islam. They say, Arkanul Islam. Arkanul Islam. However, in reality, we find that the scholars are not united upon the issue as to when a person leaves and abandons Hajj, and leaves and abandons fasting, and leaves and abandons, for example, charity, right? You know, the scholars are not united that this person is not a Muslim, right? So this is where the issue arises now, because we say Arkanul Islam, and we know what the meaning of Arkan is. So if a rukn was absent, then would it be the case that a person is not a Muslim? Right, so if we say, for example, a person, he didn't perform the fasting, can we say that his Islam is non-existent? And the answer here is that this is not the case, this is not correct. You know, a person, you know, because the scholars are not actually united, the only thing that they're united upon is the issue of testification that none has a right to be worshipped. And obviously with respect to the prayer, there is a difference, there is still a difference. So with the other pillars, it's not really established and united upon that a person becomes a disbeliever by not bringing these pillars. So in other words, what the Shaykh is saying, we need to be careful, and just because sometimes there might be certain terminologies which are used by the scholars, like in this specific example here, the scholars say, Arkanul Iman, Arkanul Islam. Right? What the Shaykh is saying is that we shouldn't allow the terminologies in and of themselves to serve as rulings in the religion. Right? So in other words, what the Shaykh is saying, that just because we refer to the pillars of Islam as Arkanul Islam, and we know that Arkan means, that the meaning of Rukn is, that it is something which if it was absent, then the whole thing would be absent, right? So we have to be careful not to allow the terminologies to be used as a basis to make actual legal rulings in the religion. That's not the case. Rather, what makes the legal ruling in the religion are the actual texts in and of themselves, right? So therefore, we will look into the text and we would see, is the abandonment of Hajj, is it disbelief? Is the abandonment of fasting, is it disbelief? Is the abandonment of, you know, giving charity, is it disbelief, right? And the texts themselves would bring the legal ruling. So this is what the Shaykh is, you know, he's notifying us of this issue, that we have to be very, very careful when it comes to understanding the religion, and that we be aware of these issues, that even though we might have certain terminologies, that we always rely upon the Sharia evidence and the understanding from it, rather than the terminology that has been used itself. So in light of this, therefore then, if someone was to withhold from one of the pillars of Islam, like for example Hajj, like for example fasting, then Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah are united that such a person who doesn't come with bring the Hajj or doesn't bring the fasting, then they are not united that this person is not a Muslim. They are not agreed upon the issue that he is not a Muslim. Rather, they say that he is a Muslim, well, because he testifies that none has a right to be worshipped and Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah, and that he establishes the prayer. But then they differ regarding the other issues. So this is what the Shaykh wanted to put across. So therefore, we say Arkanul Islam, the pillars of Islam, in fact, are in essence the prayer and the testification, but the others, the remaining three, even though we say that they are labeled as pillars, then they are not really like the foundational, fundamental pillars like the others. Okay, so then the Shaykh says, therefore we say that a person can still be called a Muslim even if some of the pillars of Iman are absent from him, right? We can still call him a Muslim. However, with respect to Iman, then that is not the case, right? So if one of the pillars of Iman was absent, then we can't say about such a person that he is a mu'min. We can't say that, right? Because with Iman, you know, it's like, for example, if a person was to, not believe in Al-Qadr, then this person cannot be considered to be a believer. And if a person, for example, was to say, not believe in the angels, then we can't say about this person he is a believer. Why? Because this is the nature of the pillars of Iman. Okay, I think inshallah ta'ala we'll stop there for today, and we'll continue with the remaining discussion of this hadith in the next lesson, inshallah ta'ala. Barakallahu fiqh, jazakallahu khair.